3 o'clock on Christmas Day, no longer the Queen's message, we'll be sitting down to listen to King Charles. For as long as I can remember, the Queen has been part of Christmas Day. As a youngster, I never really followed it. The grown-ups were asleep by the end of it. But it was a major feature of the day. And actually, the idea of someone speaking gets to the heart of Christmas. There's lots of speaking that goes on Christmas Day. Those relatives in other parts of the world. Those relatives that you've managed to avoid seeing. Yes, speaking is appropriate for Christmas. Because that first Christmas was all about God speaking. The opening sentence of our first reading tonight. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The God of the Bible is the speaking God. Some find that hard to believe. How can God speak? Why would he bother? I have to say, I've never seen it like that. If God is there, it seems to me no surprise that he would want to communicate with his world. Just imagine the in-laws coming for Christmas. And from the moment they arrive to the moment they leave, they never speak a word. I can see some of you warming to that idea. I do remember one time my mother-in-law came to stay, and by the time she left, she'd lost her voice. They are desperate to communicate with their offspring. Well, is it surprising that God is speaking? That he communicates with his creatures? He reveals himself to us. So we don't have to reach up to him, as most other religions of the world would say. He's not a concept that only the clever ones can understand. He's a person who speaks. We get to know him by listening to what he said. Mind you, that's not always comfortable. Because part of us wants a God that we can shape. A God to be approached on our terms. But Christmas is all about God speaking. As never before. And actually that's good news. Because it means that God is not hiding. Have you ever seen one of those religious discussion programs where various experts sit around? One says, I like to think of God as ... Another one says, well, that's very interesting. But I like to think of God like this. Has it ever crossed your mind how irrelevant that is? What a waste of time. If no one bothers to ask, what does God say about God? God is the speaking God. And we are both foolish and arrogant if we talk about him without first listening to what he said. It's good news that God has spoken. It means that the guessing games are over. We don't have to be in the dark, because what Isaiah spoke about has happened. A light has dawned. That sentence from our first reading sets up a contrast, and the three parts to it, to show just how big Christmas really is. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. First contrast is a change of time zone. Our writer says, in the past, God spoke, but in these last days, he has spoken by his Son. So history is divided into two. The past days and the last days. People divide history in all sorts of ways, don't they? Pre-industrial revolution, post-industrial revolution, pre-Brexit, post-Brexit. But here's the greatest watershed of all. That God has now spoken by his son. History divides into BC and AD, pre-Christmas and post-Christmas. That's how big it is. Ever since God spoke by his son, we've been living in a new time zone, the last days. In the Bible, that's the time of fulfillment, the time when all that was said by those prophets, men like Isaiah and Micah, when all that they spoke about would happen, the last days. Imagine a car journey from Wilmslow to Chester, say. There are various signs along the way, but then you get to the last signpost, and there's no more after that. Well, as we journey through the Bible, from creation to new creation, there are various signposts, important places along the way. God calling Abraham, there's the Exodus from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea and so on. There's entry into the Promised Land, there's great King David and the nation of Israel, later deported from that land and so on. But once you get to Christmas, once you get to Jesus coming, you've reached the start of the last days. No more signposts after that, until Jesus returns. Ever since that first Christmas, we're in the last days. We don't need any more signs now. But the big question is, will we listen to God having spoken to us by his son? But I rather doubt that the arrival of Jesus was anything but silent. Any trip to the maternity ward would tell you that childbirth is not silent. But more significantly, that first Christmas was noisy because God was speaking as never before. Remember that opening reading? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. With the arrival of God's son, we've passed the watershed of history, a change of time zone. And we've been in the last days ever since. The second contrast has to do with the method of God speaking. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. All through the Old Testament, God was speaking through different people. Sometimes, like Moses, the leader of the nation. Sometimes a humble shepherd, like Amos. Sometimes they became famous, like Isaiah and Micah. Sometimes we don't even know their names. Not only a variety of people, but a variety of ways. A dream, a vision, a direct word, a meditation. Lots of different ways over a long period of time, at least 1,000 years. But here's the contrast. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his son. Previously, lots of different ways, but now God has spoken in a final way by his son. Now he has said everything that he wants to say. Think of that Christmas jigsaw that you might find yourself doing over the next few days. When the prophets were speaking, it was like bits of the puzzle steadily being put in place, piece by piece, building up the edges. But now, with the arrival of God's Son, suddenly we have the full picture. The jigsaw is complete. No more pieces to add. We pass the last signpost. Of course, there's always more for us to understand. Wherever we are, we have more to receive, but God has spoken a final word. The tense of the verb that writer uses is for a past action that is now completed. By his son, God has spoken. a final word. Which of course is why tonight we're reading from a book that is 2,000 years old. Some say the church is hopelessly stuck in the past. No doubt in some ways that's true. But if that's because the message is 2,000 years old, well, Jesus is God's final sufficient word. No upgrade, no update has ever been needed. Many of our Christmas presents will be that, won't they? An upgrade on our phone or TV or whatever. But in Jesus, God has spoken a final word, never to be outmoded or superseded. So it is as relevant to you and me tonight as it was for those shepherds on the hillside, those wise men from afar. Don't put Christmas in the ancient history box just because it happened around 2,000 years ago. After all, any masterpiece stands the test of time. But maybe you think, it's not the same for us. They had God speaking to them firsthand. But a bit later on, this writer says, this salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So our writer wasn't an eyewitness. He's relying on others who had heard Jesus. And that's the position we're in. And yet he can still say, God has spoken to us by his Son. Spoken to us through those who are eyewitnesses. It's what happens every day in a court of law. The judge and jury who weren't at the crime rely on the testimony of those who were. And we can do the same. And there's an obvious reason why we can trust this final word, because it fulfills what God had said before. We heard a couple of examples through Isaiah. God had said that he would honour Galilee. And people would say, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Well, that was spoken 740 years BC through Micah. We heard God telling us about the place. But you, Bethlehem, out of you will come one who will be ruler of Israel. That was a mere 700 years BC. It's impressive, isn't it? We can't even say what's going to happen tomorrow. Not just those one or two examples. The whole thrust of what God said in the past, now fulfilled in the arrival of this child. Doesn't that confirm that in Jesus, God is indeed speaking his final word? A word that brings to a climax everything that God has said in the past? Christmas is that big. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John begins his Gospel by describing Jesus as the Word, something which is spoken, an expression, a disclosure, a revelation. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Does it remind you of anything? In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. This Jesus is God's great final act of self-disclosure. God speaking to you and me. And here's the third contrast. Not only a new time zone, a different method, but also the identity of the messenger. In the past, God spoke through the prophets. Those prophets were inspired. Some of them were spiritual giants. But they were only ever people like you and me. They were only messengers. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son. A different category altogether. There were a whole clatter of those prophets. But this Jesus is in a category all of his own. Literally, the writer says, in these last days, God has spoken to us in Son. Sounds rather odd, doesn't it? And the translators smooth it out for us. But it's saying that this Son is not just the messenger. He is the message. Here is God come to earth. It's what we heard from Matthew. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The opening reading spoke about this Son being the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That means that Jesus is the perfect way to get to know God. It's like when you push a coin into a piece of plasticine and you get an exact representation of that coin. So when you meet Jesus, when you hear Jesus, you meet God. You hear God. No wonder he's the final word. There's no more to say about how to get to know God. Again, that opening reading spoke of the Son now seated at the right hand of his majesty in heaven, the rightful ruler of all. And with that sort of authority, he must be the final word. It's sometimes like that, isn't it? You're discussing something in the office, knocking a few different ideas around, and then the boss gets everyone together and says, right, this is what we're going to do, and outlines the plan, the final word. Imagine the fresh-faced new guy in the office. On his first day, he pipes up, actually, let's do this instead. And everyone says, no, that's not how it works. Once the boss has spoken, there's nothing more to be said. And like those TV programs where the boss comes and spends a week on the shop floor, here's Jesus, down to earth, that God might speak to us. And so these wise men bow down and worship. A remarkable way to treat a baby. I reckon I would have missed it. Difficult to tell much about someone when they're only a baby. He wasn't actually wearing a halo. He looked just like an ordinary baby. But they treat him as God. And it's so much clearer for us than it was for them. I'm glad I wasn't there. Because we have the benefit of hindsight. We have a record of what Jesus did when he grew up. How he healed the sick with just a word. How he gave orders to evil spirits and they obeyed. Gave sight to the blind. Gave orders to the wind and the waves and they obeyed. In short, he did all the sort of things we'd expect if God has come to earth. I wonder when you last read one of the Gospels. One of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus when he grew up. Many feel themselves to be in the dark about God, not sure whether he's really there. Well, unless we listen to the final word that God has spoken, we will be in the dark, always reduced to guessing games. If that's you, then let me invite you to join the Christianity Explored course that's running in the new year. It's based on one of those Gospels. A chance to listen to the final word that God has spoken. Our final reading described two different responses to this word. First of all, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Isn't that shocking? God came to his own people, those who he'd been speaking to at many times and in various ways, and they did not receive him. It's almost unbelievable. And yet many today do the same. What is the alternative? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who received him. Please don't exclude yourself. Please don't say, I'm not the religious sort. This is for all. Please don't say, I'm not good enough. His death on the cross shows that none of us are good enough. He came to die because none of us are good enough. Realizing that is where we begin. Because only then are we ready to do what this verse says. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those who receive Jesus discover that they have become children of God, in touch with God as Heavenly Father. Do you see how important it is to listen to this word? This final word that God has spoken? There's no middle way. It's either receive or reject. Those who will not receive him are rejecting him. And that's the road to a lost eternity. Don't miss the brilliant news of Christmas that God has spoken once and for all, in person, into human history. He longs to make contact. He longs to reach out to the likes of you and me. That's brilliant news for all of us this Christmas.